Well, here we are, first day of September already. And, you know, we looked at last month. Remember, that was last Sunday. We looked at here the unity of the body. And it's interesting how we need to be reminded of what Paul had wrote in the scriptures while he was being led by the Holy Spirit, while he's penning these words, like we looked at last week. No scripture is given by any private interpretation, but by his holy men were moved by God. And he's saying, look, there was a problem, a big problem in the church, because you had the Jews and the Gentiles, and you had the Jews that there were some that just hated the Gentiles. Didn't matter who you were, what position you had in society. Just because you were a Gentile, we cannot eat with you. And, you know, if we had to end up getting a marriage, from God forbid, as they would think back in the day, between a husband and wife, one was a Jew, one was a Gentile, then, you know what? If the service would be dead. It would be dead. No glory to God, nothing like that. And so they went even as far as, you know, if we walked into Gentile country, we would have to shake the dust off of our feet. In other words, we would have to wash our feet before we went back into the Jewish land, the promised land that God has given us. So we looked at the temple last week, the demarcations, that plaque on the wall of the outer court. If the Gentiles went into the women's court or the men's court, then it would be an automatic death sentence. It was taken that seriously. We have today people in society, we need unity in our country. I'm going to be reading some statistics to you, what's happening to our churches, which is very disturbing, what's happening in our country and our government, which is very disturbing, because we're just splitting apart as a nation. A house divided against itself cannot stand, folks. And so we know what happens when we have always that one person in our family. I'm not calling them a black sheep. I'm saying that one person just seems to disagree with everything. And no, we can't do that. It's not the way it should be, just because they are who they are. And it's just as it was with this man who does a ministry out cutting grass and helping neighbors and all. And I was just amazed. I watched this on YouTube last week, and you know, I appreciate what he's doing when I have time. I sit back and I watch what other people are trying to do good for others. Well, apparently he was taking care of this abandoned house that had overgrown, and I'll get to the sermon here in a minute. And one neighbor came out and was complaining. He got permission through the city, number one. Number two, he got permission with the neighbors. Number three, there was a neighborhood watch. And he just did this as a ministry to help people, as testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. This one guy came over who was from a different color, and I'm not going to get into all that, but apparently he was like, oh no, and there were other people the same color and different colors and different ethnic backgrounds. He came over and he says, hey, you can't do that because you're not part of our neighborhood. I'm going to call the police on you. And it was all on video. It was all on camera. Police came over and he was just like, this guy isn't doing anything wrong. He's trying to help. It's just like when you witness today, you always get somebody. And lately I've been dealing with dogs. I don't know why. It's not people, but dogs have been coming very closely to me, almost biting me. Some people let the dogs out and they're like, oh, I just want to see if you would run away. You know, I know that's not what they're saying. You try to witness to the Lord, and you just like, you get that. Again, there's that division. People don't want you around. There's always that one person. And what Paul is saying here, look, and by the way, the guy was let off. And the one neighbor went away disgruntled. I don't think you could ever please some people. You know, you can please people sometimes, but not all the time. So you know what? The guy went on with his work. As long as you do what's right, God's going to take care of you. Even if the guy couldn't cut the grass and take care of everything, you know, God was going to take care of him. So the Gentiles and the Jews, you had them in the church. They went to the same church or churches in the area there. And I like what it says. I'm going to back up a little bit here. And Ephesians chapter verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built in one foundation. Remember, we looked at that last week. You have the chief cornerstone. It gives you who's that? Jesus Christ. We all have something in common. We're all adopted in God's family. And it gives us all direction and support. Direction and support through the Holy Spirit of God. And of the apostles, having been built on the foundation of apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is fitted together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord. Has the organic, has the idea that it grows. It, you know, we're all growing in the Lord through our trials and tribulations, through the ifs, ands, and buts. God takes care of us. Even when we're having a bad day or a good day, sometimes God will just tap us on the shoulder. Are you okay? Are you going to be all right? You know, I'm here for you. You know, I tell you what's really ministered to me this week is just getting away alone with the Lord, clicking on, listening to a preacher, or just reading God's word, or having an audio CD with me, just listening to the word of God constantly. Nothing else. That's all I was doing last night. I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. Does that make sense? You ever get to you there? What set me free, it was like I'm not getting some mystical weird thing. It's like God seems like he was just talking to me. And I was just wide open. I was just like, yes, Lord, please. I need this. I'm hungry. I need to be fed. And so I listened to all kinds of scripture and I felt just at peace, a wonderful peace. And I was just like, if you ever feel like that, you feel like the world's closing in on you, you're being attacked from every side, and you're just like, I'm about ready to lose my mind. Come on now. We all feel that way sometimes. But God gives us that peace, and he gives us that comfort through his word, through the blood, and through the spirit. Through the word, the blood, and the spirit. So we have a building being fitted together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place in the God and the Spirit. So we looked at that last week with our unity, bringing them all together. Now he continues to say, for this reason, we all have a reason in life. He says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. I love that. Because he says, I'm not a prisoner to Caesar. I'm not a prisoner to why the Jews threw me in jail unjustly. Remember back in Acts 13 when he went back to Jerusalem, they had that offering to give from the Gentiles. He came back. He was in the temple area. And remember, Paul had some other issues that he had to deal with. But I don't have time to get into all that. But he was lied about. And they made up some stories. Ever had somebody lie about you and it wasn't true because they couldn't put anything on you? So Paul said, look, he appealed to three different rulers at that time. I'm just putting it into paraphrase here. And it got so bad, he had to leave that province there around Jerusalem. And he says, you know what? It got so bad because he was just tired of being moved around like a pawn on a chessboard. He was like, you know what, these leaders, I want to appeal to Caesar. I want to go to the top. Sometimes we have to go to the top. You know, God takes things seriously. And I always make sure I need to stay humble. I need to be submit to those who are in authority, which actually you all are here in authority. As your pastor, I have to stay humble. I am accountable to each one of you. I love you all. And I have to make sure that I am transparent in Christ to lead you, to teach you, to guide you, to protect you from the wolves that can come into the flock that can destroy our gathering here today. So Paul was like, you know what? Just get me out of here. I want to appeal to Caesar. And so he did. And what did they do? They ended up putting him under house arrest. He was in jail where he wrote Philippians, Colossians, and Ephesians. So he wrote those epistles while he was there. And, you know, he realizes that too, that God is sovereign. So He says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if you need have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. And of course, the root word there, as you probably know, it's where we get our word economy. Economy, okay, from that root word from dispensation. It's a time period. We're under the grace of the dispensation of grace. Don't think about the economy right now. Think about God's economy, amen? Because you know what? This world is going to blow. It's like it's studying Revelation. And, you know, when God changes, makes a new heavens and a new earth, he's going to be like he did there in Hebrews. He rolled up the universe like a tent. You know, you ever going out camping, rolled out the tent, goodness gracious, you know how to put a tent up. It's hard, you know, you learn the hard way sometimes. So you roll it out, you put it up. God has put up the way the things are right now. And then eventually what will happen is that he's going to roll everything back up. And then, you know, he's going to roll it back out at the end times. We'll have a new heavens and a new earth. But thank God, because we know there's seven dispensations. The one we're living in is grace right now. Then you have the next one is the millennial reign. And then after that, you have eternity. Eternity. So Paul's looking at the small picture as well as the big picture. And each one of us today, we have a lot of small pictures in our mind. But the big picture is Jesus Christ. Because, folks, let me encourage you here this morning, because he's got a good picture of us. He's not going to let one sparrow fall. He's not going to let one hair fall out of your head without you knowing. So go to him today. So, you know, and we see we're here with the dispensation of grace of God, which was given to me for you. So Paul's saying, I'm here because God put me here. And you know what? He's rejoicing. I'd rather be in God's perfect will instead of God's permissive will. I'm here because of you, he's saying. And I love you, and I want to help you along. And I'm going to write this letter through the workmanship of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that silences all the critics that say the Bible's not God, it's not God's word. And also, it gives us peace in our heart when we're alone with him reading his word, saying, Lord, you're speaking to me. You're talking to me. I know you're talking to me today. That's right. And so he says to me, that was given to me for you, how that by revelation that was he made known to me the mystery, who I have briefly written about already. So he's talking about here in chapter 1, verse 9. It says here that for having made known us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure in which he purposed in himself. So what is that mystery? The mystery is the church. We're called out. We're at Ecclesia. We have the local church and we have the universal church. He's called us all out here today. We're living in times today where there's a lot of confusion. Like I said last week, we're living in the time of the Babylonian times. And please don't take me wrong. Okay, I'm not making something up out of here, but Babylon means confusion. Jerusalem means peace. Okay, so I could just say, okay, we're living in confusing times since this COVID's hit us. Now, what's happened to us statistically, what people are saying in the United Pew Research, which you can look that up online, it says 8 in 10 Americans say religion is losing its influence in public life. Why? Because we took God out of society, took prayer out of schools. I believe it's June 23rd, 1962. It was in the news. And, you know, wow, you know, why would they do that? Because one person can change things. And that one lady who did that and her son, by the way, became a preacher. You probably know that too. Some of you have been around here long enough to know that too. But God always has a way it's like a whiplash. Comes around, goes around. And it stings, it hurts because people are really confused. They're very upset nowadays and they have no peace. You know, I've seen a lot, you know, go down to, I'm not knocking the Harley Davidson park down there, but there was a lot of drinking, a lot of bands, you know, playing music since Friday. And I'm like, my goodness, I felt sorry for people like that. They used to be me years ago. Okay. I have no, I don't feel proud about it. I feel pretty shameful, but you know, God forgives. It's okay. and I've learned to work with bikers in the past. And a lot of them are just fine, you know. But if they're sitting at tables, you don't give tracks to them. And by all means, when people get drunk sometimes, they don't think. So, you know, you give them a track and smile to them. They're like, yeah, okay, I'll take whatever you give me. Sure, you know. They're not thinking. But anyway, people need to know the Lord. And even though they may sound like they're having a good time, let me get back to what I'm saying here. So, conservative Christians and secular liberals, according to the Pew Research, have gone too far in trying to control religion and government and public schools. That's about half and half. Or, you know, the Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. So you have our government, and or even in our school systems, it's just about right down the line. We're saying there's just too much of this church stuff going on. And guess what? There's too much of the far left going on. And there's a big collision. There's a big collision. I just hope one person said, we might have a civil war in this country. I said, well, I hope I don't. I hope they don't. I certainly don't. You know, if anything ever came to it, you know, I'd be rejoicing knowing the Lord comes back, number one. But number two, I would be trusting my Lord Jesus Christ to get through this. And I'd be praying because, you know, it's civil war is not a good thing. 49% of Americans say religion's influence is declining, and that's this is a bad thing. Another person said this. Mr. Gladstone said, tell me what a young man of England are doing on Sunday, and I will tell you what the future of England will be. So, and same way here in the United States, what are young people doing since the 70s? Churches have gone down 30% in attendance. And so, you know, you have a lot less young people coming to churches anymore. It's just not the thing. And I also was reading another statistic, too, and they were saying, they asked this another poll, and they said, well, you know, what are you looking for, young people? What are you looking for? And they say, we're looking for a feeling, something to make us feel good. There's a lot of good feeling, things feel good out there, but they're all, there could be lies, you know. It feels good to have a nice dinner. Feels good afterwards, right? As long as you don't eat too much. But you know what? You have, unfortunately, people are looking for feelings, and you can't trust them. You cannot trust feelings. You can be very deceptive. And so, you know, those are just some statistics there. And Paul is writing here, and he's saying, look, there is the mystery of the church. This is where we're at right now. Let's get back to the Bible here. And so he says, what I have written to you briefly in verse 9, chapter 1, he says, it's the church. We are that mystery. And I hope it's not a mystery in our own lives today. People that would say to you, I didn't know you were a Christian. There was one lady, I remember in a revival, happened years ago. She came, sat down. I was like, wow. It was one of my relatives, and I'm going to mention it here live online. Of course, that'd be disrespectful and all kinds of wrong. But she goes, God told me to come here. I was like, okay. And she goes, by the way, she told me in private after the church service was over, she was sitting, wife and I were sitting there, and she was just sitting there. She goes, I've been a secret Christian all this time. He goes, I just didn't want anybody to know. And I've asked God to forgive me. And I said, God can do that. I said, God gives you second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, infinity. God will give you, always forgive you. You just got to get up and do what's right. Well, she turned around. She led my brother to the Lord, and she also led my little nephew to the Lord. So God can do things if we let it be known. And so Paul's saying here, by which when you read, you may understand in verse 4, my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So we're looking at verses 1 through 6 through the mystery, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit and his holy apostles and prophets. So a mystery is a difficult or impossible to understand or to explain. But through the Word of God, it can be explained, and it was known unto the prophets back in the Old Testament. Isaiah 11:10 said to the Gentiles, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people for the Gentiles, and that root of Jesse is Jesus Christ, shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. So the Gentiles, according to Isaiah, they had no idea that this is referring to the church as well. And eventually, also we see here too with Hosea 1:10 that Israel will be part of this ministry. And yet Israel is not the church. Okay? Just remember that. There's a doctrine going around that God's given up on Israel. They believe it was the church, and now it's referring back to not any of the Israelites, but back to the church. That is heresy. That is not true. So be careful if you listen to some of these teachers today. Don't be drawn away by false doctrine. Hosea 1:10 says, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there it shall be said to them, 'You are the sons of the living God.'" And then also, too, we see in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, about those who will receive the Holy Spirit will be part of the church. "And it shall come to the pass afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." You got to keep in mind that there are people today, Jews can be saved and come to a church, okay? And they can grow in the Lord in the church. Also keep in mind, too, in Iran, just in the news a few weeks ago, there is a major outbreak of revival. And a lot of young Iranians are realizing that Islam does not work. Okay, they've had a Ayatollah Khomeini there for I don't know how long. And they've seen on all the years that have gone by that this Islam does not work. And the problems that it's causing also to in the political realm as well as in the religious realm. But they said they've visioned Jesus Christ. There's been a lot of visions. Now, I don't know what that means. God's in control. He can do anything. But I'm telling you what, be very careful about those visions. Be very careful about that. Where is Jesus now? He sits on the right hand. But, you know, Native Americans, other people have come to the Lord who had no access to God's word. And it has been proven. They've said that, you know, we've had a vision of Jesus. I don't know what kind of vision that was, but they came to know Christ as their Savior. They came to know Jesus as their Savior. I'm not limiting to God to anything because we can't do that. But Joel says here in Joel chapter 2, verses 29, says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." That means speak, read the word and proclaim it. Your old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and my maid servants shall pour out my Spirit in those days. So, you know, we're living in the last days, the days that we live in right now before Christ comes back. And I think he could be coming back very, very soon. Or it might be a while yet. You know, the older people tell me, saints in the Lord, they've been talking about that for quite a while. Especially when they didn't believe that Israel was going to be a state back in May 5th, 1948. There was a lot of criticism that went through the Christian colleges and universities and that that's never going to happen. But God can do miracles. And we see that, you know, the last days is referring to the church, the age of the church that we live in right now. So the time that Pentecost, the time to the rapture, the time that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. To some people, that's a mystery. A lot of Christians I've talked to going out witnessing, they never heard of the rapture. The ones that will actually listen to me, we actually have a civilized conversation, minus the dogs barking. It's scary. You know, when you come, you walk away, think nobody's there, and they're like, "Oh, wait a minute, here's Harper." You know, it's like, "Oh, hi." And the dog's waiting for you to run away, because that's exactly what you want to do, and they would like to attack you. But I know where that, spiritually speaking, that's what Satan wants me to do, is tuck tail and run. Yeah, no. I just turn around like, okay, bite me. I heard that expression. Okay, just bite me. Yeah. No. And fortunately, the people have been very nice, very respectful, and apologetic. So you have, you know, all these things coming in here in the church age that are coming very close. They're hitting home. And we have an election coming up. We're going to be repeating this because we need to pray for our politicians and so on and so forth. And with that being said, So down to verse 6, and Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, not which I became a minister according to the gift of his grace and of God given to me in effectual working power. As one person said it, he gives us the essentials. He gives us, that's unity. He gives us non-essentials, the diversity in a church. And then also he gives us all things in God's love in Christ Jesus. We are supposed to be one in the unity in the body of Christ. And we understand what the mystery is now. Paul is saying, let me encourage you. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all members are that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, have we all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the fact that the body is not one member, but many. As we're going to be also in this context, is referring to the Lord's Supper. So, you know, many came from around, and churches gathered together back in the day like they did today. And people had to confess their sins before they took up the Lord's Supper. And so the mystery is here, is the church, Jesus Christ. Remember, we do, when we did the Lord's Supper, we do it in remembrance of him. But not all things can we understand quite clearly. And sharing this mystery, excuse me. Verse 8 says, to me, who I am less than least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's just amazing that Christ, according to Colossians 2:2-3, says that their hearts may be encouraged. That means the church being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches and full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of my mystery of God, both in the Father and Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures in wisdom and in knowledge. You know, we have such a huge, as I can say, pot here of blessings. We should one day, if we decide to get serious with God, and I know you've all been serious with God, some of people haven't, and they just need to go in there and need to grab something. It's nothing worse than if you go to this arcade place where you put in a couple quarters, and it's like a little crane operation where you got these little stuffed animals, and you try to, you know, get down there and you try to grab that stuffed animal, and you miss it every time. God's saying, look, it's there. Don't waste your money on the arcades. You know, they're fun. Their games are fun. But some Christians are like that. They try in all the wrong places to look for those riches. They're right there. Like I said earlier, got to take that time and just flood your mind with the peace of God. Flood your mind through the blood. Flood your mind through the Word of God. Flood your mind through the Spirit of God. Just wash all those things out of your mind and put Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. So, it says here in verse 9, to see what is the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of ages. That means forever and ever. In other words, God is ours forever and ever. If getting along with God and not confessing your sins, and being led by the Spirit, you just take a good look around you and see what's in this world today. Okay? This is all going to pass away. I want something that's eternal. You know, I want the big picture. You know, and God gives us little pictures as well. So, it says here, of the ages that have been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. And there were certain reasons why. Good reason, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Listen to this. But if we speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery, then the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for they had known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. You better believe that Satan wouldn't have done what he had done. But God is all wisdom, all power. Yes, our adversary was created perfect in wisdom. Ah, but remember, he was created. Problem is with people today, they look at God's creation and they look at, like it says in Romans chapter 1, they worship the creation instead of the creator. Why? Because they don't know anything about the mystery. Why? Because they did not have imputed to them righteousness through the Holy Spirit of God as it was proclaimed. They didn't believe by faith. They didn't understand because, unfortunately, they did not believe. So they believe the creation. Why do you think that there's Mother Earth today? Why do you think there's other things? And it became foolishness to them, the things of God. And so things don't have to be mysterious. Sometimes I like to read mystery stories. Some people cheat. Some people read the last chapter so they understand what it's going to be, and then they read the beginning of the story so they understand. I got that. But with our Bible, it's there. And so, now we were talking about this in the book of Revelation. And this came to mind. And says here, back in Revelation, for a warning for those too. It says, "For I testify," verse 18, Revelation 22, "I testify to everyone who hears the word of prophecy to this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book." Interesting. It's talking about the book of Revelation. Some people say, well, that could very well be for the whole Bible. Yeah, that could be too. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "Let that person be accursed." And it has the idea of being double damned. Anybody who adds on to the word of God or takes away. He's talking about the Judaizers. They're saying it's, let's live by the works of Moses. Poor Moses, if he only knew. And yet, you know what? You have people who teach that doctrine. And people teach a doctrine of works. "And if anyone takes away from the works of the books of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life." So obviously, if they're adding on or taking away from the mystery of Christ, then obviously they're not saved because they have to add on to it. It's not good enough. Oh, I need to take away. "And then from the holy city, which of these things are written in the book." And I love what John says, that he who testifies to these things says, "Surely I'm coming quickly." Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, the grace of Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So John's saying, "Come quickly, Lord," because these experiences that I'm having here in Revelation, when John was called up in the Spirit, just using the same word we use the word rapture, he saw these wonderful things that are going to happen. He says, "I can't wait." It's like a kid waiting at Christmas time, waiting to open up the presents. God has a lot of things that he has for us. So continuing here with this because of time, last three verses in Ephesians chapter 3, we're looking at the privilege of the mystery. "To the intent now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church and the principalities," as the idea of the angelic beings, both the evil ones. Remember the prince of Persia. Remember God was going to answer Daniel's prayer. And God said, so God sent an angel down, but he wrestled with the prince of Persia. So there is a angelic host there. There's a spiritual battle that's going on. And there's another section in Jude. It says that there was apparently, the idea of wrestling over Moses' body when it needed to be buried. And remember, the angel had to wrestle over the devil over that and said, "The Lord rebuke you." So, when you got God rebuking, nobody can stand up to that. So you had the principalities and the powers, the authorities and the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember that this week. He has his eternal purpose that was focused in on you. Remember, Satan has, like it says in Corinthians, a design on you. He knows exactly where your weak points are. He knows where you'll fall. And he has a design on you. But on the other side, you have what it says in Isaiah, that God has a standard that Satan cannot buffet. If we claim that, and like I said, if you reach in God's word and grab something that's secure that can help you, then when that flood comes, like it says, it's like God is like a dam that goes up, keeps back the flood of adversity in your life, because it can hit you hard out of nowhere. Be prepared for it if it hasn't happened in a while. Enjoy your blessings while you have. I was talking to one brother about that this morning. He goes, you know, God is just really blessed and everything's going great. And then he told me something just happened. He says, pray for me. So we just stopped praying. So Lord, give him peace, give him strength, give him wisdom, and, you know, let the engineering work in us. So it says here that according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence through the faith in him. So we have that boldness to come boldly before his throne of grace, night or day. Therefore, I ask you, do not lose heart in the tribulations for you. In other words, Paul is saying, because I'm here, don't be upset because of hard times having. They're going to happen regardless. But give thanks, because he was writing this letter, you know, and he says this, and I'll finish with this about God's ministry, which is your glory. In other words, it's for us to give glory to God. Like I said last week, our purpose in life is what? To glorify God. That's why we're here. And, you know, whether it's to be the hot, sticky days or the cold, you know, in a couple of months, I hate to say this, it's going to be cold. We're wearing jackets. The heat's going to be turned on. The seasons change, but God never changes. Amen. So we keep that in purpose. And let not God to be foreign to you. I want to encourage you this week. Other things I wanted to say, but I don't have time for it. And I don't think God wants me to say any more. So remember, this mystery was there, it was foretold in the Old Testament, and it was brought for us to realize that as a church and Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the head. He is the foremost in our lives. Like I said last week, the head, if you chop off the head, the body can't do anything. Some people walk around without Christ, and I hate to say this. This is an illustration I used years ago. People didn't like it, but you ever seen a dead body without a head? It just starts shaking all around, right? Because of the nervous system. Some people are like that all the time. Just a bucket of, it's like you take a bunch of rocks, shake them in a can, like this all the time. Calm down. A piece of Christ come into you. Let the head rule the body. So we're looking at our government. They're like that, like a bunch of stones in a tin can rattling around. Hey, let the peace of Christ come into you.